ओम शांति, ओम शांति, ओम शांति। ए वेरी गुड मॉर्निंग टू ऑल ऑफ यू एंड मेनी मेनी ग्रीटिंग्स फॉर दिवाली, द फेस्टिवल ऑफ लाइट्स, द टाइम टू रिजॉइस, टू एक्सपीरियंस हैप्पीनेस एंड प्लेजर, टू सिंग, टू डांस, टाइम फॉर experiencing super sensuous joy of the confluence age. Deepavali is a memorial of that. But who can experience all this? The one who is really a very, very fortunate soul. If one is not a fortunate soul, he cannot experience all this, even if he tries to. So we have to increase our fortune, then we can really enjoy our life. But what differentiates a fortunate person from an unfortunate person? Why is someone called very, very fortunate and someone called very, very unfortunate? Sometimes incidents happen, we say, oh, how sad. And sometimes incidents happen, we say, oh, how great. So what makes an incident make you feel sad and what makes an incident make you feel great? Or that incident itself is giving sadness or giving the feeling of greatness. So what differentiates the two? For some, an incident can give a lot of happiness, but for the other, that incident can give a lot of sorrow also. So what is the difference? People rejoice, they crack, you know, their fireworks on Diwali day and all, and people are rejoicing, dancing, singing. And all of a sudden, one firework, one cracker hurts somebody and immediately he gets burnt. He gets a burn. And in a second, there is chaos everywhere. So much happiness and all of a sudden, great chaos. Oh, what happened? What happened? What happened? Somebody got burnt. Yesterday also it happened. Most of you who are staying in Gyan Sarovar, you must have come back in the bus. But those who are staying there, they wanted to dance. And then they danced and danced, but somebody lit some firework and immediately somebody was hurt. And then they all had to stop. What happened? What happened? So that joy turns into a little bit of sorrow. It wasn't a very big tragedy, a minor one it was. But how the change takes place. So what is, there were hundreds of people there, but only one person was hurt. Why only that one? Nothing happened to the other hundreds. So why, what made that person unfortunate and the others, not unfortunate? An accident happens, 100 people in the car or in the bus, or maybe some 200 people in the flight, in the plane, and there's a crash, maybe on the ground. Some are saved, some are killed. What makes that happen? So many questions come in our minds. Why somebody is killed and somebody is very fortunate, remains safe. So what's the difference? Why is somebody considered very fortunate? And why is somebody unfortunate, you know? If somebody has some ailment, physical ailment, all of a sudden he goes to a doctor and the doctor diagnoses that he has cancer, maybe. And when people come to know, they say, "Oh, he has cancer, how unfortunate. How unfortunate." And somebody was suspicious that it could be cancer. And when he was diagnosed, it came that it's all negative, I mean no cancer. It was only a very benign tumor. And we say, "Oh, how fortunate." So someone was called fortunate, someone was called unfortunate. Because when he got a physical ailment, very unfortunate. And no physical ailment, I mean very clear, very fortunate. So definitely we say that any physical ailment, any sickness of the body, definitely is misfortune. And if one is saved, one is free from any type of physical ailment, no suffering, no pain, we say, "Oh, how fortunate." So what exactly is fortune? When someone is very healthy, we say fortunate. Mentally he is very stable, no stress, no depression, very stable, a very stable mind, very accurate in all his decisions, very peaceful, very happy. We say, "Oh, he's so fortunate." But when somebody is not that, we say, "Oh, how unfortunate." So if mentally also someone is not stable, he's unfortunate. So physically if not stable, then unfortunate. Mentally not stable, unfortunate. If physically stable, mentally stable, then very fortunate. Then thirdly, if somebody is very wealthy, we say, "Oh, he's so fortunate." Because money can buy anything, no? Money can fulfill many of your desires. You want a good mobile phone, but oh, it's so expensive, I can't afford. Very unfortunate. And somebody has the money, he can buy, oh, he's very fortunate. We say that. So wealth also is definitely a big fortune. And when somebody doesn't have that, he can be considered to be unfortunate. Because it's difficult to fulfill all his desires, which wealth can fulfill. So the third thing is wealth. So first is health, physical health. The second is mental health. The third is wealth. And the fourth, when do you consider somebody to be fortunate and somebody not fortunate? The fourth is his relationships. A good wife, a good husband, very loving, very dedicated, very loyal to one another, very faithful, all, everything very good between the two and the children, the family, very happy, we'll say, oh, how fortunate. And in some families, a breakdown, sort of, a separation, a divorce, or maybe not that far, but quarrels, fights, anger, hatred, jealousy, you say, oh, how unfortunate. So relationships, if they are very good, then definitely that person is very fortunate. So when people speak about all these things, then some wonder, can anybody be really that fortunate to have all the four? Physically very healthy, mentally very strong, very intelligent, very successful, financially also very well off, and relationships also very, very lovely with everyone. And some say it's impossible. So Baba says, if it would be impossible, then people would never try to achieve that also. That means nobody in this world is completely fortunate. Doesn't mean that if all the four are never easily available. If they weren't, then nobody would even try for them, because it's not possible. But definitely people do try. If any physical ailment comes, then, oh, go to the doctor, he'll help you, he'll give you medicine, because nobody wants to be ill. Nobody wants any ailment in the body. And the greatest fear can come, oh, I may die because of this ailment. The fear of death is wandering around his head. Oh, I may die. And that gives him more sorrow and stress. But somebody may be physically ill, yes, for some reason, but mentally he is very stable. Then also we can say, yes, he is very fortunate, because mentally at least he is stable. His mind is very strong. We say this for Dadi Janki. Physically she is very weak, very weak. Even Dadi Gulzar, you know, at this age, Gulzar Dadi is also 88, 89. She went through cancer, she got all the treatment, and of course got cured, no doubt. But then the side effects are so many. So physically not very strong, but mentally very stable, very peaceful. So can we call her unfortunate? Can we call Dadi Janki unfortunate? Can we? No, because she's mentally very strong. So even if one is there, one can be called fortunate. But for 100% fortune, definitely all the four are necessary. And if it's never possible, then one would never try to achieve that also. So is it possible to have all four very fine, body, mind, wealth, relationships, all wonderful? Was there a time, any time in this world, or in any age, when all the four were attained to their fullest extent, complete extent? It's not possible now anyway. There's always something or the other lacking. People who are very physically sound, mentally sound, wealth-wise also very rich, but very poor relationships. They're all left alone. I remember I went to Dubai, and the sister there told me, would you like to meet someone? He's in the hospital and he's a very rich man. And would you like to meet him? I said, what's the problem? So then she said that he has cancer. He's such a rich man. He has a few hotels in Dubai. but he's all alone in the hospital and he's crying all the time. So I said, and she said, please, let us go and give him some solace. He's very unhappy. So we went to the hospital to meet him. And he was so sad, so many tears coming rolling out of his eyes. And I asked him, why so much sorrow? Never mind this body, but why there's so much sorrow? Is it sorrow of the body? He said, no, not at all. Never mind. I don't mind if I have to die. I don't mind because he had cancer. Then what's the problem? Mentally also very stable, very intelligent man. I mean, running so many hotels and financially so rich. So what's the problem? He said, I'm all alone. I'm all alone. Why all alone? Where's your family? I asked him. He said, my wife, he was an Indian. My wife is in Mumbai and she's running her own hotel. My one son is in England, the other son is in America, third in Canada. And they all know that I have cancer. But nobody wants to come to meet me. I'm the one who gave them so much wealth. I made them rise. I did everything for them and now nobody cares for me. Nobody cares for me. Nobody cares for me. All the time he was thinking in this way. Nobody cares for me. And crying and crying and crying. Now will we consider him to be very fortunate? He has, good wealth. Mentally also very stable. Everything so good. People were trying to console him, but he was crying. So was there ever a time in any age when all the four attainments were there? And we'll say, yes, definitely. It was only in the golden age. In golden age, the deities, as Baba mentions in the Murli, so beautiful they are. Physically so healthy. Mentally also so healthy that their mental health is visible on their faces. Such a stable, sound mind is reflected on the face or two. And wealth, no one can compare themselves with their wealth. The goddess of wealth is Lakshmi. She herself is there, how can there be anyone who doesn't have wealth? She is there in the living form. And relationships are so beautiful that no deity is ever shown alone, always with a spouse. No? They are always shown like that. Never alone. All the deities, except maybe for Hanuman, they say some that he did not get married. So those who did not get married, maybe they show them alone. But then always, every deity is shown with a spouse. That means a beautiful family. Some are shown even with the children. Because family life has been in this world right from the beginning. And this is the greatest fortune. But today, why so much misfortune? Well, there could be only one answer. The only word we can use as an answer is our karma. We can neither blame anybody else nor can we blame God for it. Some try to blame others, some try to blame God. Oh, God is responsible for my sorrow. Why did He give me so much sorrow? Because they think God gives everything, happiness as well as sorrow. So if I have get sorrow, that means God has given it to me. Or if I'm not blaming God, I'm blaming people. He gave me sorrow, you know. It's because of Him I have sorrow. But when we understand karma philosophy, we do realize that neither God causes sorrow nor anybody else causes sorrow. it's all your own karma. And there could be different reasons for experiencing the sorrow, but definitely it's our karma. So if we really want to experience the true happiness, physically happy, mentally happy, financially happy, relationship-wise happy, definitely we need to elevate our karma instead of just blaming others or blaming God. It's so easy to play this blame game, you know, so easy. God, you have done this, you did it. So easy to blame God. And God just smiles, you know, somebody is blamed for something and that one hasn't really done anything wrong. That one will smile because he knows it's not because of him. But the other one's own ignorance is making him say that. And therefore when people blame God, definitely it is their ignorance. Because even when Baba says in the Murlis, neither give sorrow nor I give happiness. I show the path. To follow that path is up to you. I show the path of happiness. But if you don't want to follow, what can Baba do also? Parents want their children to have a good life, happy life, successful life. They'll try their best to help the children. But if somebody doesn't want that help or doesn't really know how to take that help, he doesn't make any effort for that, then it's not the parents' fault. He has to make that endeavor. However, somebody may help him, but if he doesn't make any endeavor, it won't really give him any help. And therefore, it's no use blaming God. It's no use even blaming others. You know, we try to give a relief to ourselves by blaming others. In childhood, I don't know if you have experienced, the mother is teaching the child how to walk because the child cannot stand up and start walking on his own. The child has to be encouraged. Come on, put your step forward. And he's afraid, you know, because if he lifts up his foot, maybe he'll fall. You know, he can't walk. So the mother will say, come on, lift your foot, put your foot forward. And he is trying. But supposing whilst he is walking, he falls because he can't stand on his feet firmly. And then we know what the mother does. She will scold the ground, the floor. Oh floor, you're so dirty, you're so naughty. You made my child to fall down. You know? And the child is so happy because he would have cried. Because he fell down. But then the mother diverts the mind of the child by blaming the floor. And the child thinks, oh, I'm very good. It's the floor which made me fall down. Actually, it's not the floor. It's the child himself. But it was actually the mother should have held the child. But then she wants him to walk. She wants him to become independent. But then even if he falls, instead of encouraging him, no child, is nothing, don't worry, you'll make it. Instead of that, she's blaming that floor. And the child learns, it's not my fault. It is the floor's fault. The child goes to school and somebody slaps him and he slaps somebody. And then that other one slaps him, that the child, the children fight. So he slaps somebody and then the other one will slap him, definitely, because why did he slap him? Now because the other one slapped him, he came running home, mommy, he slapped me. Now the mother doesn't think that maybe my child slapped him first. Why did the other child slap for no reason? He wouldn't slap for no reason. But instead of telling the child or asking the child What did you do? She will blame that child. Why did you slap my child? But then child will say, no mummy, no auntie, he slapped me first. Why did he slap me? So the mother doesn't find fault in the child, his own child, old child. She'll find fault in the other one, other child. So it's because of attachment. See, attachment comes in the way. My child cannot do anything wrong. But then there are some who will scold the children, you know, for no reason also. But then the scolding won't help. Make the child understand. The same thing goes with the mind. Now mind is also like a child. I am blaming other people, but not my own mind. Or if I am blaming my mind, I am cursing myself. So we should not even curse ourselves. We should not even blame others. But the right aspect would be to have love for the self and for others. Love for the self and others. This is the way to really make ourselves fortunate. So Baba tells us that children neither blame Baba nor blame anybody else. But don't even blame your karma. Now sometimes we blame our karma. Oh, my karma, my karma, my karma. Baba says, don't even blame that. Like, see, Dadi Janki, how many times she went to the hospital? But she has never said ever once, oh, my karma. She always says, no, Baba sent me so that I could serve the doctors. Baba sent me there so I could serve the people in the hospital. Baba served me there, sent me there so that I could take some good rest. You know, very positive all the time. Neither blaming Baba for it, nor blaming anybody else for it, nor blaming even the own karma. See, all the three things are there. Either we blame God or we blame others, or we blame our karma. So karma doesn't actually tell us to blame ourselves, but it reminds us that we have to change. Because only we can, or the self alone can, by changing, the self can change everything else. That's why we say, if you want somebody else to change, you change yourself first. If whatever change you want to see in others, bring that in yourself first. No? Supposing I tell somebody, why you are doing like that? That one will tell, but even you are doing it. So if I am doing it, how can I tell somebody else, why are you doing it? You know, Mahatma Gandhi's example is given in this. Mahatma Gandhi was a very, very lovely example of that. One lady took her child to Mahatma Gandhi and said to him that, Bapuji, Gandhiji, my son loves a lot of sugar. He eats too many sweets and see his teeth are getting spoiled. You tell him, don't eat sugar, don't eat sweets too much. Chocolates, you know, children also love chocolates. So, because everyone gave respect to Mahatma Gandhi, whatever he would say, people would obey. So the mother took the child, and Mahatma Gandhi said, come after 1 week. And she said, okay. Then after 1 week, she went again with the child, and she told him, please now tell my son not to eat sugar. And Mahatma Gandhi very lovingly said, child, see, sugar is not good. You know, it spoils your teeth. See, your teeth are spoiled. You should not take sugar. And the child said, okay, Mahatmaji, I will not take. So the mother was surprised. She said, well, why didn't you tell the same thing last week? If you had to just tell that, why did you say, come after 1 week? And you know what he replied? He said, that day I had eaten a lot of sugar. I myself had eaten it. So how could I tell? I didn't have the courage to tell this little child, don't eat sugar, because I also ate a lot of sugar that day, sweets that day, because many people came to give him sweets, so he did not refuse. But yes, for 1 week he did not eat, and that gave him the courage to tell the child not to eat. So if we want the change in somebody, let me be the change. And for that I don't have to blame my own karma, but I have to just change my karma, that's all. So what are the different steps to increase our fortune? If I'm not healthy, well, I just won't blame, I'm not healthy, this because of doctor, because of this doctor, because of that nurse, because of that person. It's totally ignorant to blame anybody else. Sometimes it could be the doctor's fault, it could be the nurse's fault, wrong medicine, wrong treatment, whatever. But then I cannot blame anybody else. I remember when Didi, you know, Manmohini Didi, you know how she left the body? Well, Didi Manmohini, she one day all of a sudden, she couldn't see, you know, her eyes like became, she just couldn't see, there was darkness all around. And nobody could understand why the darkness came all of a sudden. Eyes are open but nothing visible. And then, so after some time, she went to the doctor, and then the doctor tested her eyes and there was cataract. And the doctor said, you need to operate for the cataract. So maybe because of the cataract. But there could be another reason. Even if there's cataract, why should there be total darkness? Some light should be seen. So she went to Mumbai from Abu, because Abu, not many good doctors at that time, this global hospital was not there. So when she went to Mumbai and she told the eye doctor said, well, first do CT scan of your brain, because if there is darkness and all of a sudden there must be something in the brain nerve. So you'll have to do some CT scan or some MRI. And when that MRI was done, they found a benign tumor in the brain. A benign tumor in the brain, and that was obstructing, and therefore she couldn't see. Occasionally, not always, but occasionally. And then you have to go to the neurosurgeon. So she was taken to the neurosurgeon, and the doctor said that benign tumor has to be removed. Only after that the cataract operation can be done. Now Dadiji asked Baba, what to do? Baba said, go ahead. I mean, never mind, do it, but nothing else. It will be cured or not cured, I mean nothing else, okay, do it. Because even if she would not have done it, it could have made her blind, you know, because it was that obstruction, that cyst or that tumor in the brain was growing. And it could grow more, and ultimately she could lose eyesight. So Baba said, okay, do it. And then the brain operation was done, that cyst was removed. But then she never recovered after that. She was 73 years old at that time. The oxygen did not reach the brain. And after the operation, the doctor had to go away somewhere. And he went, giving all the instruction to the other smaller doctors. But then, even though the doctors tried, but the oxygen was not going to the brain. And for 21 days, she was in a semi-coma state. She'd open her eyes, smile, say something, nobody could understand what she was saying, and then close her eyes again. So that semi-coma, but very peaceful, sweet state. Very peaceful and sweet state. And then after 21 days, she left the body in the hospital, in that semi-coma state. The oxygen was not going. Anyway, so after the cremation, Dadi Gulzar offered bhog to Baba. And you know the message what Baba gave was, the doctor's name was Bhagwati, Dr. Bhagwati. And Baba gave the message in a very rhyming way. it is neither Bhagwan's fault nor Bhagwati's fault. No, Bhagwan means God, and Bhagwati was the name of the doctor. Usually for God and Goddess also we say Bhagwan and Bhagwati. So it's neither God's fault, Bhagwan's fault, nor Bhagwati's fault, the doctor's fault. But this is drama. This is drama. One word, drama. And then many questions were asked. But Baba, you said to that she can go for the operation. And then Baba said, even if she wouldn't have, it would have been worse, no? She could be go blind maybe. And then Baba was asked, Baba, but oh, you know, for 21 days there was continuous meditation, total yoga bhatti in all the centers in Madhuban. This was in the year 1983. So much in Madhuban, all the time meditation going on. And the whole Madhuban was so fully charged, you know. Well, and when she left the body, well, then Daddy asked Baba, but what about all the meditation the children did? Didn't that help? And you know the reply Baba gave? Baba gave the reply that the soul was such a powerful soul, Didi Manmohini's soul, so powerful. But in order to take a birth, to enter a mother's womb, that womb had to be purified. So your meditation, which you did, purified the womb of the mother. Mabhi, who could think of this? But Baba gave that answer. The same thing with Brahma Baba. When Baba left the body, nobody could even dream of that Baba would leave the body like that. He was so healthy, everything was so good. But then, when Baba left the body, there were many questions. And Baba gave a very beautiful answer, that this was to increase Baba's service, so that Brahma Baba becomes a close companion of Shiv Baba, and thereby make this service even hundredfold, extended. That means it should increase so much. But that will happen only when Baba becomes avyakt. Means in different words. So Baba became avyakt, and thereby how Baba's service started in foreign countries. Before that it was not there. And Baba said that now service will grow in leaps and bounds. And we are seeing that. So we do not know all this, but Baba knows. So we start questioning, why this, why this, why this, why me only? Why me? So Baba says, no need to question. Understand that I have to change my consciousness. So what are the steps for really increasing our fortune? That physical ailment which has come, it is like it's coming and going, it will come and go. Okay, even if it stays and I leave the body, it is better to settle the karma here than to settle in Dharamrajpuri. You know, many people say, oh, Dadi Janki, such a powerful yogi, and why she has that physical ailment? But Dadi Janki never feels that. She says, I don't want to get any punishment in Dharamrajpuri. So Baba, whatever is there, let it finish now, so that the soul leaves the body completely perfect. And therefore, no sorrow at all. Although the pain is there sometimes, and she overcomes that pain by just becoming bodiless. You know, when you become bodiless, you can overcome your pain. When you are too much in body consciousness, the pain grows more and more. And when there's too much pain, maybe it's not easy to become bodiless, because the mind is pulled by the body. But if one has this practice of becoming bodiless, it's not difficult. Therefore, Baba says, you have to practice this of being bodiless in a second. For example, I'm told now, just be in silence for a minute. Every hour the music is played. Can I become bodiless in 1 second? That's the practice I have to make. Like we play game, no? So heaven is coming, heaven is coming, heaven is coming. Okay, 2 together, 3 together, 4 together, 5 together. And sometimes we say, Shiv Baba. Shiv Baba means you're alone, only by yourself. At that time, you should not go and try to catch hold of somebody else. You have to be alone. So that alertness, that the mind to be very, very open at that time to do what you are told to do, that is very, very important. Similarly, to become bodiless in 1 second, that's also a very beautiful practice. But then it needs a long time practice. And if I can practice that, I can easily detach my mind from the pull of the body, even in pain, and keep my face very, very smiling in spite of the pain. You know, Dadi Janki, she doesn't like that anybody should ask her, Dadi, how are you? Or Dadi, do you have any pain? Dadi says, is it visible on my face? Means sometimes the pain is visible on the face when there's so much pain. Oh, you know, we do that. So if it's visible, it's visible, that's why people ask me. But if it's not visible, nobody will ask me also, Dadi, do you have pain? Yes, Dadi does say. Dadi's asked, Dadi, do you have pain? Yes, little bit pain. Little bit. Though it may be a lot, but she'll never say, oh, it's too bad, it's unbearable. She never say like that. Because she can go beyond in 1 second. And in that stage of pain also, she's giving Baba's Gyan. She's giving Baba's Gyan, asking that person, how are you? You know, instead of the doctor asking the patient is asking the doctor, how are you? This was with Brahma Baba also. Brahma Baba went through an operation. And after the operation, the next day, the doctor came and Baba was sitting with some children. And and Baba is asking the doctor, doctor, how are you? Doctor is asking, he's saying, should I ask you or should you ask me? Because the doctor has to ask the patient, no? But here Baba is asking the doctor, how are you? So the doctor was really surprised and really admired Baba's stage. Because no other patient would ever say like that. But Baba said it, although he had been operated just 1 day before, Brahma Baba, for a small operation. So we can see that if I'm really able to overcome the pull of the body, then it is helping me to increase my fortune, in a way. Of course, the physical ailment is definitely my karma. But if I can detach my mind from the pull of the body through a long time practice, in that stage of ailment too, I can really create my fortune. And this physical disease can go easily. Because in that stage, I'm also doing some meditation and sending powerful vibrations to my body. Very often we have done so much of research on this, a tumor in the body somewhere, and I'm sending the powerful vibrations, the tumor is reducing. The tumor is reducing, the tumor is reducing, it's going away, it's going away, it's going away. And really a miracle can happen, it's gone. It's like the laser beam being coming on that tumor or that cyst or whatever, and that thing is melting and melting and melting. Our thought energy is working. But if the thought comes, oh, I have this problem, I have this problem, I have this problem, maybe it can grow. But it's finishing, it's finishing, it's finishing, it can finish. How mental power can really work in this way. So, if I really want to experience that fortune by expressing my physical health in a positive way, then definitely I am creating a fortune. But if I am blaming myself, blaming others, that this one's fault, that one's fault, I am increasing my karma. Because in my mind I have that negative thinking, I have ill feeling for somebody, I'm maybe cursing that person, so my karma, bad karma are increasing. So there's no need to curse, no need to blame anybody, even yourself, but just the positive thoughts that how I'm overcoming it. And then with Baba's power, with my own positive rays of thoughts, it's finishing, and really a miracle can happen. So this way I create the fortune because I'm able to help my body. And then sometimes Baba says, surrender it to me. Something which doesn't belong to me, it will not make me really be worried about it. If I lose something which belonged to me, then I'll be worried, oh, I lost it. But if it belonged to somebody else, I will not be worried that much. Oh, that person's belonging was lost. Okay, we'll see. But if it's my own belonging, I'll be worried. Where is it gone? So if I surrender this body to Baba and say, Baba, this belongs to you, even this is creating a fortune. It's like this body is surrendered to God. So God takes care. You know, in India we have this very lovely saying that if you surrender to somebody, then all the responsibility goes on that person, and that person becomes responsible for your life because you have surrendered. Even the biggest of terrorists, you know, if they surrender to the government, then the government becomes responsible for protecting their life. But they have to surrender. But if they try to react, then they'll be shot. But if they surrender, then they become protected. So too, Baba says, if you surrender your body to me, surrender your mind to me, surrender your wealth to me, doesn't mean that I will take it away from you. It is